All right, Hebrews chapter number 13, that's where we're going to be studying tonight. But what I'd like to do is take you over to the verse where God birthed all this in my heart, in 2 Thessalonians, please. I'm going to take you over there and read a couple verses and just kind of explain how God birthed all this in our heart. Some of you have heard this and some of you haven't. The Bible said that the Lord of peace himself, this is 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. And then in verse 17, the salutation of Paul with mine own hand. And this is what grabbed my heart when I read this, which is the token in every epistle. So I write, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. You see, I got to looking at the epistles of Paul, and in every epistle, he signs out with the grace of God. And I didn't really realize this till we were in Sunday school the other day, and I was asking about the last verse in the Bible, and my wife read it over there. She was over in a Sunday school class with me, with the teenagers. But John, the beloved disciple, the one that wouldn't even call his own name, that said John, that other disciple, then he'd say the disciple whom Jesus loved, John signed out the book of the Revelation the same way, with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, one of the first things that I did, and I found out later, maybe even later that night, that Brother Jason did the same thing, as soon as I read the text, he ran to Hebrews. Because there's been an argument, Brother Eddie, over the years, what did Paul, the Apostle Paul, write the book of Hebrews? And I've read a lot both ways, amen, on whether he wrote. We always knew it was inspired by God. It's God's Word. There was never a doubt in my mind about that. But we were in doubt about who the human author was, the penman that God used. You see, the Bible said, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And I ran to the book of Hebrews immediately, and boy, oh boy, oh boy, I'm convinced in my heart now that the Apostle Paul himself wrote the book of Hebrews. Let's read a few verses tonight, and then we've been preaching in the last chapter of his epistles, and the title has been The Importance of the Grace of God. In verse number 22, Hebrews 13, and I beseech you, brethren, suffer or allow the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. That's kind of odd, because Hebrews is probably the longest epistle that he wrote. No, it's not. Romans is. I'm sorry. I'll back up on that. Romans is. But it's one of the longer epistles that the Apostle Paul wrote. But watch this. He said, know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you. That's another sign right there. And then he said, salute them that have the rule over you, and all the saints, they of Italy. Another sign right there. Salute you. But then this nailed it down for me. He said, this is a token in every epistle. So I write, grace be with you all. Amen. Pray with me tonight, and I want to look at chapter 13, and the subject matter would be the importance of the grace of God. Father, thank you tonight for your word. Thank you for your people. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. And I pray, dear Father, tonight, if there'd be one under the sound of our voice that don't know you, that this might be the night, Lord, that you'd finger around that heart, that you'd help them to understand their need of the Savior. Lord, thank you for doing that for me. Lord, no man could do that. But Lord, you did that for me. You convicted me of my sin, helped me to see my need of a Savior. Now I pray tonight, Father, that you'd make the preaching clear. Anoint the preaching of thy word. Anoint the hearing of thy word. And change us, our Father. Make us more like your Son. And we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm looking tonight at the importance of the grace of God. And I want to start in verse number 1 and just kind of come through the chapter a little bit here. We'll dance around a little bit at times as the subject leads. But I want to look tonight, first of all, at the importance of the grace of God in our hearts. You say, Pastor, where did you start off with that? Well, if you would, look at verse 9. The Bible said, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is good thing that the heart be established. What is it that establishes the heart? The grace of God. That's exactly what establishes the heart. You remember that we were like to and fro. Amen. Just didn't know which. We didn't have any real purpose in life. And God come along and saved us by His grace and established us, give us a direction in life, amen, that we could go forward for Him. So I want you to look at several things here tonight. Number one, a heart for the saints. You say, Pastor, you believe that God's people have a heart for the saints? Yes, I do. Amen. Look at verse 1. It's a little simple verse. Let brotherly love continue. I'm telling you tonight, beloved, listen, I believe that when a man gets saved by the grace of God, and the grace of God moves in, and that mess moves out, I believe God gives us a heart for the saints of God. Amen? We want to meet with them. We want to pray with them. We want to bear one another's burdens. Amen? And the love of God, the Bible said, I believe in Romans chapter 5, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Amen? And I thank the Lord for that tonight. Listen, I'm glad I don't run with the crowd I used to run with. I'm not putting them down. I don't look down my nose at them. But I'm glad, beloved, listen, the church is the crowd I want to run with today. Amen. With brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. People that have been washed in the blood of Jesus, that are now robed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. People that Brother Mays used to say is heaven bound with a hammer down. Amen. That's my people. That's my crowd. Amen. Now, I want others. I want those that are on the outside to come on into this crowd. Amen. But I tell you, by the grace of God, you'll not find these two cheeks sitting on a bar stool again. Sad men right there. I'm telling you, listen, God moved me off of that onto a church pew. And I'm thankful that He did. Amen. And it's the grace of God. It all started right there in my heart. Amen. God, give me a heart for the saints of God. Amen. I've told people this hundreds of times down through the years. It wouldn't take you no time whatsoever to find somebody that could preach better than I do. It wouldn't take you no time whatsoever, beloved, to find somebody that could do a lot of things better than I do. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You'll be hard-pressed to find somebody that loves you more than I do. I'm talking about in this world. Now, Jesus, we need to remember what Sawyer said when I told Sawyer that you have any idea how much Papa loves you. He's my grandson, Brother Nick. He looked at me and said, yeah, Papa, but God loves me more. And that's the truth. Amen. The Lord's the one that laid down His life at Calvary. And greater love hath no man than this, that a man could lay down his life for his friends. Amen. But God gives us a heart for the saints. I'd be worried about my salvation tonight if I didn't love the church. If I didn't love my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I'm not talking about something you put on or something you work up. I'm talking about something God put inside of you. Amen. Beloved, listen, a love for the saints of God, the precious people of God. And I believe it's evident in Paul's epistles, if you read them. Honey, he loved the church. It didn't matter if he was in the church, he loved the church. It didn't matter if he was in the prison, he loved the church. It didn't matter if he was being beaten, he loved the church. I'm telling you, Paul loved the church of the living God. And it wasn't just one local assembly. He traveled all through the area, beloved, on his missionary travels. And everywhere he went, he found it refreshing to found a bunch of God's people. Amen. That's one of the things I enjoyed most about traveling those 10 years. God's got young and scattered out all over this globe. I wouldn't have believed it before I traveled, but there's even some of God's young as north of the Mason-Dixon line. Amen. I wouldn't have believed it until I went up there, but I found some. Amen. I'm talking about people that love God. Let me tell you something else. I found some in the prison. I'm talking about some genuine, born again, amen, saints of the living God. A lot of people say, well, I wouldn't talk about them prisoners. The only difference between them and us, they got caught. Say amen. You say, Pastor, I wouldn't say something like, oh, let me just say it like this. If you've ever driven under the influence one time, you could be spending the rest of your life in jail, in prison. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something right. You say, well, Pastor, I've never touched that stuff. It's the grace of God, you ain't. Amen. Don't you brag on yourself. Let every man that think if he standeth take heed lest he fall. Amen. I appreciate the grace of God. The grace of God in our heart. A heart for the saint. Then number two, a heart for the stranger. Look in verse number two. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. I don't believe, beloved, that when a man gets saved by the grace of God, Brother Justin, I don't believe he says, well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to love the saints, but the rest of them forget about it. I'm going to tell you what my grandpa said, and I believe it's true. He said, you get a good dose of old-fashioned Holy Ghost salvation. He said, it'll cause you to love everybody. Now, listen to me. He said this, it'll cause you to love your enemy. I believe it'll cause you to call your enemy's name in prayer to the throne of God. Amen. I believe, listen, that God wants us to love that stranger. Amen. And to help them. Amen. That they might come to know Christ if they don't know Him. And if they do know Him, that they might proceed on in the work of God. There's a heart for the saints. There's a heart for the stranger. But where does it all stem from? Look at verse number 8. The Word of God said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. I'm going to tell you this right now, right here's the key to all of it, a heart for the Savior. You see, if you have a heart for the Savior, everything else just falls in place. Amen. You love what He loves. You hate what He hates. Amen. Amen. I believe that with all of my heart. And listen to me. When you read that verse right there, here's what you need to realize. Brother Justin, you remember that day when God saved you. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you get to live to be 63 like I am right now, He'll be the same right then. That's where I got my comfort when I began to think about my children that were coming into the world. Amen, Brother Stephen. I wondered, laying on the couch, what are we doing bringing these youngins into this world? And the Spirit of God visited with me and said, I'll be the same for them as I am for you. It don't matter how wicked the world gets. I'll be the same yesterday and today and forever. There's a great deal of comfort in that if you take that, beloved. And realize, you know, I've been reading through the Old Testament, and there's something that's caught me this time that's never caught me before. It's bloody. You read that Old Testament, and every time you turn around, there's thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people dying in this battle or that battle. They're fighting one another. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm almost to the place where it looks like the crime in America makes it look like a cakewalk compared to what went on back there. Say amen. You say, well, Pastor, how in the world can we make it in this mess? Got to have a heart for the Savior. You got a heart for the Savior, you won't stand up and brag about it. You'll brag on Him. Oh, John had a heart for the Savior. That's why he said that other disciple. My name's not important. His name is. That's why he'd say, he didn't say that disciple that loves Jesus. He said that disciple whom Jesus loved. That's precious, beloved, when you think about it. That's why the Apostle Paul said, listen, he said, if you want to talk about sinners, he said, just look up here, I'm the chief. He said, but if you want to talk about saints, he said, put me down there at less than the least of all the saints. You say, Pastor, that's a false humility. I don't believe it is, beloved. I've said for years, the people that are walking closest to God don't know it. You say, why do you say that, Pastor? Because the closer you get to Him, the more you're able to see in your own life, amen, that if there's any good thing, it's because of the grace of God. It's not because of you. It's not because of me. It's because of the grace of God that's active in our lives that we have a heart for the Savior tonight. I don't know about you, but that blesses me, the importance of the grace of God. And then tonight, and I think this is important. Listen, I've had times in my life when I struggled right here. what I'm about to share with you. Look at verse number 9. We read it a while ago. The Bible said, be not carried away with divers or different and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them which have been occupied therein. Well, what I picked up on there is the word doctrines. And beloved, if we have the grace of God in our heart, we have a heart for the saints, we have a heart for the stranger, we have a heart for the Savior. But listen to this, and don't minimize this. We have a heart for the Scripture. I'm going to tell you something right now. David, he made some bad mistakes in his life. And beloved, David was the one that come along in Psalm 119 and said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something right now. If we're in this book, it's the grace of God we're in this book. Amen? And if we understand the importance of this book, it's the grace of God that we understand the importance of this book. And if we stay faithful to this book, it's the grace of God we can stay faithful to this book. I believe we ought to read it, but not just to check a box. Somebody say amen. Somebody helped me years ago. A man made this statement preaching. He said, one of the happiest days in your life will be when your time of devotion is no longer a time for you, but a time for him. Now you get a hold of that. A lot of people will take time each day because they want God to do something for them each day. But it's a happy day, beloved, when you can turn that around. Amen. Say, God, I want to be a blessing to you. Amen. I want you to know I love you. Listen, if you've got children and grandchildren, honey, let them jump up in your lap and say, Papa, I love you. Or, Daddy, I love you. I'm going to tell you something right now. You say, Pastor, that ain't nothing. Yeah, you'll see. Amen. Brother Jason, you'll see. Amen. You'll see. You'll see. It ain't nothing. It's everything. And I believe the Lord every once in a while just wants us to jump up in his lap and say, Lord, I didn't come to ask you for anything. I just want to tell you I love you. I just want to thank you for saving me. I want to thank you for feeding me. I want to thank you for my family. I want to thank you for a roof over my head. How do you want the Holy Ghost of God to show up? You just start thanking him and praising him, amen, for what he's done in your life. A heart for the Scripture. Now, tonight, not only do we see the importance of the grace of God in our hearts, but secondly tonight, we see the importance of the grace of God in our homes. You say, Pastor, I don't see the home in this text. Well, let me show it to you. Look at verse 4. Marriage is honorable in all. If that ain't a home, I don't know what is. Two people get married. Amen. You see, have you ever rode down the road, Brother Jimmy, you've probably done it and maybe heard somebody or you've said it yourself. I've done it. Said, look over there, what a beautiful home. Not necessarily. It might be a beautiful house. Did y'all understand the difference? There can be a beautiful building and an ugly home. Amen. And I hate to say it like this, but there's a lot of times when that's the truth. There's strife. Amen. There's no peace in that home because, beloved, it takes the Lord to make a beautiful home. The Bible said marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. I hate to say it, but it's the truth. We're living in a generation, beloved. We're not getting married, moving in together. Amen. It's just as common, beloved, listen, as the cold. Amen. But that don't make it right. Amen. Sodomy might be common, but that don't make it right. Shacking up will never be right. Amen. Stealing will never be right. I'm just going to go ahead and use the word. Them idiots that says as long as you don't steal more than $950 worth, we're not going to prosecute you. I said they're idiots. They have lost their mind. Amen. And I'm telling you, beloved, listen tonight. God is saying it's the grace of God that makes a home. Amen? And we need to understand its importance in our home. First of all, I see the cleanness in our home. You say, Pastor, where do you see that? In the word undefiled. Thank God tonight a man and a woman can come together in marriage. And God said, that's undefiled. Amen. That's something that's clean in my sight. As a matter of fact, if you get a hold of it, it's a picture of Jesus and His church. Amen. Honey, we're heading to a wedding. Did y'all know that? Amen. The marriage of the Lamb. That's what the Word of God teaches. We're headed to heaven. And we're going to have a wedding. I'm headed to that wedding. And I've been invited. And you know what I did? I accepted, Brother Jim, the invitation. Amen. And I'm not going to try to go into that wedding without a wedding garment on. I'm going to go in clothed, fully clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What a blessing that's going to be. We see the cleanness in our homes. When it's done right, God puts His blessing on it. Amen. And God, my friend, does it through His grace. You say, Pastor, we have a wonderful home. Don't ever forget, it's the grace of God. You have a wonderful home. And not just a house on the hill, amen, that everybody's looking at. And I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. God's not impressed with our houses anyway. But I tell you what, I believe God is touched by our homes. I believe it blesses Him when He sees a teenager submitting to their mom and their dad, amen. When He sees a husband and a wife submitting one to another in the fear of God, amen. When He sees, beloved, that going on in the home, I believe it blesses the Lord. We see the cleanness in our homes. Secondly, when Christ is in that home, you'll see the contentment in our homes. Look at what the Bible said in verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I want to say something tonight, and if this is you, I'm saying it for you, because I love you. I feel sorry for people. If somebody moves alongside of them and builds a 3-car garage, then they got to get the plans made for a 4-car garage. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I feel sorry for people that live like that. Amen. The credit cards are full of stuff, buying stuff that you don't need to impress somebody that you don't like. Say amen. I'm telling you, beloved, this world is full of covetousness. Amen. But that should not, listen to me, there's a scripture, I didn't mark it down tonight, but it's in the Bible, I promise you. Covetousness, which is idolatry. That's right there in the book. Amen? You see, we don't think much about covetousness, but if we thought about worshiping idols, that'd get a hold of us. Amen? Well, God said that's what covetousness is, wanting somebody else's wife or wanting somebody else's stuff. God said that's not healthy. Amen? Be content with what you have. You say, Pastor, how can a person be content with what they have? I'll tell you, by the grace of God. Amen. And they can realize, beloved, listen, when you pull in the driveway, God, thank you for my home. Thank you for this little tin thing. I told my wife the other day, we put up one of them little shelters years ago where we don't have to get out in the rain anymore. It's just one of them little tin huts that they call a carport. I thank God for it, beloved. It's a lot better than the snow and the rain going down your back when it's doing that. Amen. Well, I can thank God for my building and thank God for the barn and thank God for everything I've got, but I always need to realize in the back of my mind, it's all going to burn one of these days. Amen. And just be content with what God has blessed us with. Amen. I believe that's by the grace of God. You run into somebody that's content, and they're content because of the grace of God. Amen. And then under that, the third thing is Christ in our homes. Look what the Bible said here in verse number 6. The Bible said, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Can anybody say that tonight? The Lord is my helper. Y'all remember, how many of you, and I'm not asking you to lie to me tonight, but how many of you come up in a situation where you were fairly poor, at least fairly poor? Would you raise your hand? Boy, that's a bunch of us, ain't it? Amen? That's a bunch of us. Well, you know, sometimes, listen to me, sometimes, I'm going to stop here just a minute tonight, but sometimes if we're not careful, have you ever heard parents say something like this? I don't want my youngins to come up like I did. And then if you're not careful, you'll want your youngins to have everything that you didn't have Are you with me tonight? Amen. Well, I want to ask you something. Raise them hands again if you kind of come up poor. Amen. Did it hurt you? It didn't hurt you, did it? Amen. Amen. Did it hurt you to push a mower? Amen. You know how I started out weed eating? Listen to me. Y'all going to laugh. Somebody might have to help me up. But I'm going to show you how I started out. We lived in Edgewood, Maryland. Can anybody get this picture? Y'all see what I'm doing? I'm going along the sidewalk. And Brother Eddie, I had to do it to please John Vannoy Jr. That wasn't easy. Amen. You didn't leave one sticking up that high. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say God's been good. But don't forget where you come from. And realize, beloved, listen, if our young'uns have a little hardship along the way, it'll just toughen them up. It'll help them along the way. Amen. And I'm telling you, beloved, listen, God wants us to have Christ in our homes, that we can say, the Lord is my helper. You can remember, beloved, listen, when you didn't get groceries for the month, you got them for the week. How many knows what I'm talking about? And you say, well, Pastor, why did you do that? So the milk would stay fresh? No, because you didn't have money to get the groceries for the month. You got them. Everybody knew the Lord was their helper. They knew the Lord was blessing them. They knew the Lord was helping them. I've told people, Mama used to send me next door, and it was about a mile to walk next door where we first started out, to borrow a slice of cheese or to borrow a cup of flour or to borrow a couple of eggs. And then I had to walk back when Mama got the groceries and take them back, brother, to take the two eggs back. And they'd come over here. You know where we're at? We'd drive 100 miles to a Walmart before we'd walk from here to that back door back there to borrow an egg. Amen? I'm going to tell you something. Some of that pride ain't good for us. Amen? The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. And in the home, it's Christ in the home that can help us to say, I'll not fear what man shall do unto me. The importance of the grace of God in our hearts. The importance of the grace of God in our homes. And then I want to give you this tonight, and I'm done. I used to tell them at Liberty, if you just got excited, you're a visitor. Amen. The importance of the grace of God. I want to give you this thirdly tonight in the house of God. You say, Pastor, where did you get that? Look at verse 7 with me, please. The Bible said, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Look at verse number 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. You know, how many pastors can stand in a place where I'm standing tonight and say that they've pastored a church for 10 years with joy and not with grief? Well, let me tell you something. Y'all had as much to do with that as anything. But don't swell up. It's the grace of God at work in the house of God. Say amen. See, even over there, I read it a minute ago. Let me see if I can find it. Salute them, verse 24. Salute all them that have the rule over you. You say, Pastor, what's the picture? What are you trying to get at here? Three things quickly. In the house of God, the importance of the grace of God in the house of God. We looked at it in our hearts. We looked at it in our homes. Now we're looking at it in the house of God. We see the submission because it's the house of God's people. Look in verse 7 and 17 again. Remember them which have the rule over you, have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Let me say something to you tonight. Don't forget this. Thank God for the building God's blessed us with. Thank God for the building. even though it's scattered out over God's half acre, thank God for the building. Amen. But let me say this to you tonight. When we leave here, when the last child of God goes out those doors, this building's deader than a hammer. Honey, we brought the Lord with us. Amen. God lives in us. But when we meet together in the house of God, what we see here is submission. And listen, it goes both ways. You know, it's not a thing. I told the men, I don't know if they remember it years ago, but we were back there meeting, and I said, men, if we come in here with an attitude, it's going to be my way or no way, I said, God will not bless that. But I said, if we come in here and we have our different ideas and we say, Lord, would you show us your way? I said, God will bless that. Amen. God has a way, and he just wants us to get together and find it. Say amen. Somebody has to lead. Somebody has to follow. It's the grace of God. The church has a leader, but it's also the grace of God. The church has followers that are willing. I'm not talking about Jim Jones going down to drink the Kool-Aid. I'm talking about Paul said, be you followers of me, even as I also am a follower of Christ. You say, how do we know a man of God's following the Lord? That's all I can tell you. Right there. Say amen. I mean, listen, I don't care who it is. If he crosses that book, go with that book. Go with that book. The submission of God's people. And then there's supplication. It's the house of God's people, but it's also a house of prayer. See, Jesus told those Pharisees, he said, you've taken my Father's house and you've made it a den of thieves. And it's supposed to be a house of prayer. You say, where'd you get that in the chapter? Look in verse number 10. We have an altar. Hallelujah. We have an altar. God's given us an altar. Did you know this? Listen to me. You may be surprised. A lot of churches don't have an altar anymore. A lot of churches never find the need to go and pray about anything. Amen. I'm glad to say tonight we have an altar. Amen. And thank God, listen tonight, for the altar. There's supplication, a house of prayer. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. You see, we have access into the holiest of all tonight. We don't have to go to a high priest. God made all of us priests and kings. Amen? And we can go into his presence. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, though he might sanctify the people, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. This is kind of a little side note. God's house is a house of prayer. But when I read that text tonight, years ago as a young preacher, they wanted to know, it seemed like I got asked at least two or three times a year, whose camp are you in? They wanted to know if I was in the Bob Jones camp, or if I was in the Jack Hiles camp, or if I was in the Lee Robertson camp. You know what I told them all, Brother Jason? Ain't none of them. I'm outside the camp with Jesus. Ain't it a shame, amen, that men that call themselves men of God would judge you and criticize you if you wasn't in the camp they thought you ought to be in. I'm going to tell you something right now. I've learned a few things along the way. Amen? Jesus wants us to be a house of prayer. He'll lead us and he'll guide us. And then I'll give you this, and I'm done tonight. It's a house of praise. Look at the sacrifice. We saw the submission, the supplication. Look at the sacrifice with me, please. In verse number 15 and verse number 16, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. God gives us something about praise right there. I just read Hannah's prayer this morning over there in the book of Samuel. Honey, she was praising the Lord for what God had done for her. And in so doing, she was thanking the Lord for what God had done for her. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You say, Pastor, I don't understand why God would call praise a sacrifice. I'm going to let you in on something. Because the flesh don't want nothing to do with it. The flesh don't want nothing to do with it. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. You go in a meeting where people's flesh is pumped up, the Spirit of God won't be nowhere to be found. Amen. But I'm going to tell you where the Spirit of God is found. There's people with thankful hearts and people that don't mind to praise the Lord. We don't all praise Him the same. Somebody's hand might go up. Somebody else's hand might not go up. Somebody might have a tear run down their cheek and somebody else might not have a tear run down their cheek. We're all different. Amen. Say amen. But I'll tell you what. I can say this tonight. You know whether you're praising Him or not. Let me give you something more important than that. He knows, Brother Mike, whether we're praising Him or not. Amen. I got to thinking today when I looked at that scripture about that song, Brother Ralph, it said, praise Him, praise Him, Jesus, my blessed Redeemer. Amen. Sing, O earth. I tell you, there's a day, I read it in the book of Isaiah chapter 55, when even the trees of the field are going to clap their hands and they're going to praise Him because we're out from under this curse of sin. Amen. And the whole creation is groaning right now and travailing to be delivered from that curse. And it ain't going to be long, honey, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Amen. And there's going to be peace in the valley. After that 7 years of tribulation, thank God there'll be a 1,000-year reign. And then there'll be one last battle. For years I didn't understand that. But you want to look at the rebellion in man's heart? They're still going to rise up against Him. After Jesus has ruled for 1,000 years, lions laying down alongside of lambs, children playing on the hole of an asp, amen. Don't have to worry about nothing, amen. And still, there's people with that rebellion in their heart going to raise up. See, He rules in that with a rod of iron. I'm glad today, listen to me, get this. He's not ruling me with a rod of iron. But I tell you, the grace of God's doing a good job in my life. Amen. The grace of God has set up the guardrails. Amen. I can't make my children follow me. I can't make my grandchildren follow me. I can't make anybody follow me. But if they do, they're going to end up in the city of God. Amen. They're going to end up over there with Jesus. How many's glad you come tonight? Thank you for coming.